Oh, it's so good. It's so, so good what God is doing amongst his people in his church. And it's so good to be here with you all at Sindlesham this morning. Sometimes I'm at Gate Central, sometimes I'm over here. But I love looking out and seeing more and more people every week, every time I come. It's such a blessing. Such a blessing. So today I am just going to talk a little bit about God, how God is always doing a new thing. God is always creating. He is the incredible creator God. He made everything in this world, in this universe. He made each and every individual person. He created each and every one of us. But he is still creating because it's in his nature to create and to make new. He continues to create new and do new things amongst us. If you think about it, think about the seasons. We're just coming to the end of autumn. We're entering into winter. We expect things to change in the seasons. At least in this country, we have very clear seasons that we move through. But there's the cycle of every new day, every new year. In the human condition, there's an expectation that there will be new things coming. You know, most of us get excited about a new baby or a new puppy or a new job. We might be a bit nervous about a new job, but there's an excitement that comes with it because we're stepping into doing something new that we've not done before. We live in hope and excitement when new things come our way. And sometimes there's some trepidation with it, but there's a hope and an expectation. Because we're built to wonder at what is coming next, because God is always bringing something new to us. So I want us to read Mark chapter 2, verses 18 to 22. And they should appear on the screen as well. So Mark chapter 2, I'm just going to read verses 18 to 22. Now John's disciples and the Pharisees were fasting. Some people came and asked Jesus, "How is it that John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees are fasting, but yours are not?" Jesus answered, "How can the guests of the bridegroom fast while he is with them? They cannot, so long as they have him with them. But the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken from them, and on that day they will fast. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. Otherwise, the new piece will pull away from the old, making the tear worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. No, they pour new wine into new wineskins." This is Jesus speaking. This is Jesus's illustration, Jesus's explanation. But this is quite early, relatively early on in Jesus's time here on earth. We're in that season now when we're in the run-up to Christmas, where we begin to think about Jesus coming to earth as a baby. And obviously he then grew up and he had this period of time where he was ushering in a new way of doing things. Think about it for a minute. Before Jesus, there was John the Baptist. John the Baptist came, he was sent, he was a prophet of God, and he began to talk to the people about Jesus coming. He began to call people to repent, to be baptized, because the Messiah was coming. And those of us that know the story, John the Baptist ended up in prison. But he was hearing the news about Jesus. Jesus was doing miracles. Jesus was preaching about the kingdom of God. And John actually, before this passage, but John sent messengers to Jesus and said, Are you the Messiah? Are you the one that we've been waiting for? John was keen to know, was Jesus the one? And then in this story, people came because John's disciples were fasting and the Pharisees were fasting, and people wanted to know what was so different. Why was Jesus' behavior and Jesus' disciples' behavior so different from that of John's disciples? And basically what Jesus was saying, you know, often fasting was linked with mourning. And Jesus was saying, I am here with you. There is no need for mourning when I am here with you. This isn't a season for fasting. This is a season for something new. This is a new season. And when Jesus came to the earth, he ushered in a whole new season. It was no longer about abiding by the religious laws and the laws of Moses. You know, before that, the Jews were living a life trying to please God. They were doing the things that he'd set out for them to do. But when Jesus came, he brought a whole new season, a whole new way of living. I mean, obviously, we're not that far in the story yet, but we know that he died to save us from our sins. He died so that we don't need to live by that old set of laws and rules. We simply repent of our sins and we choose to follow Jesus and the way that he leads us. But we are clothed in his righteousness. We don't have to earn that righteousness anymore. It was a completely different way of looking at things. It was a new season, completely new season. So let's look at this passage a little bit more. No one sews a patch of unshrunk cloth on an old garment. I didn't really understand that for ages, but it's really, really quite simple. If you take a piece of material that hasn't yet been washed, that when you first wash it, it shrinks. So if you take that piece of material and you sew it onto something that has been washed, when you wash them together, one bit shrinks more than the other and it will tear, it will fall apart. Similarly, when you think about the new wine and the wineskins, it says here clearly, no one pours new wine into old wineskins. Otherwise, the wine will burst the skins, and both the wine and the wineskins will be ruined. In the time of Jesus, when he was talking about this, the wineskins were often made of goat's skin. And what would happen is you put the new wine into fresh wine skin. It was like a skin. You know, we go to the supermarket and buy a bottle of wine, don't we? This was just a goat skin sewn together. When the wine goes in, it ferments within the wine skin. And therefore the wine skin has to be flexible, it has to give, it has to move to accommodate the gases and the fermentation, of the wine. If you put new wine into old wineskin, old wineskins are brittle. They've grown old, usually with the wine that's in them, and they're a particular shape, and they can't give and expand to accommodate the new wine. That's why if you put new wine in the old wineskin, the wineskin will break and the wine is ruined. Now in this picture, wine in the Bible is often symbolic of the Holy Spirit. And it's about the Holy Spirit at work. When the Holy Spirit is moving and the Holy Spirit is doing something, the Holy Spirit doesn't just come and do something randomly. It requires a vessel that it operates out of. The Holy Spirit can just turn up, I'm not saying that, but when there's a move of God, it requires a wineskin to operate in. And you and I help create that wineskin that God needs, that God is looking to partner with to operate through when he's doing a new thing. So it requires a flexibility. It requires flexibility on a structural level. Let me explain that. As the Gate Church, we've had quite a history of God doing something new amongst us. We go back a number of years, and if you're new to the church, this might help you understand a little bit more about who we are at the Gate. A while back, we had something that we termed times of refreshing. We had a time when the Holy Spirit visited us in a fresh new way, and as we would wait in his presence, the Holy Spirit would come, he would speak to us, he would revive us, he would touch our hearts and change us from the inside. We called it the time of refreshing, but we had to adjust our structure a little bit in order to allow the Holy Spirit to do everything that he wanted to do. Then we had something called the turning, when the Holy Spirit visited us in a fresh way and empowered us to be those people that were bold with the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we would be those that would go out and tell people about Jesus, tell them what he had done and how they could be saved. And again, it required a structure to be real around it. And other things had to shift to accommodate that. But it had to happen. It's a joy to see that we're part of the new move of God, a new move of God over here in Sindlesham. To look across a sea of faces and know that God is drawing men and women together, bringing each individual person that's here. You're not here by accident. You're not here by mistake. God is drawing people together in this place because he's doing something fresh and new, not just in this place, but in the lives of every person here. There's something that God is doing in and through each individual person. You're not here by mistake. God is going to use you in this place because he's going to touch many, many more lives through what he is building here. So be open to what God wants to do in and through you because he's always doing new things. We have to be able to be flexible enough to respond where God is moving. Now, I'll be really honest with you. So this is on a structural level. The church has to adjust things. You know, when God began to draw in lots of people here, the church had to look around and say, how can we support the children's work here? How can we support the youth work here? How do we help build a community here? And there's a responsiveness in the hearts of this community to meet those needs. But it starts with us in our heart, and how responsive are we to what God is currently doing. Now, I'll be really honest with you. I've been in two situations where somebody asked me, God seems to be doing this over here. Could you get involved? Could you help out over here? And it's clear that the Holy Spirit's at work. But my response was, I'm too busy to get involved over there. I'm doing this, and God's asked me to do this. Twice that happened. Do you know, we've got a good, kind father, haven't we? We've got a good, kind father. He doesn't stand there with a stick beating us up. He just reorganized my life, and suddenly I found I was doing both of those two things. He didn't beat me up. He gently loved me. But my initial response was, no, I can't, because my box in which I was living was too rigid for me to change it. And I believe God is looking for hearts and minds that are able to change because they see what God is doing. They see what God is doing and they say, Lord, I want to be where you're doing what you're doing, not just doing what I want to do or doing my own thing. think there's another scripture passage, perhaps, Nathan, you could put up. 1 Corinthians 9, verse 20 to 22. This is Paul writing to the Corinthians, and it's a huge demonstration of the flexibility of this man, his ability to respond to the circumstances around him, to what God was asking him to do, and what God was speaking to him about. So to the Jews, I became like a Jew to win the Jews. To those under the law, I became like one under the law, though I myself am not under the law, so as to win those under the law. To those not having the law, I became like one not having the law, though I am not free from God's law, but I'm under Christ's law, so as to win those not having the law. To the weak, I became weak to win the weak. I have become all things to all people, so that by all possible means I may save some. Paul was so driven to take the gospel of Jesus Christ to those that needed to hear it. He was prepared to adjust how he did that and where he went in order to do it. And that requires a change of mind often and a change of thinking. If we go back to think a little bit about the early church, I'm really, really struck by, the story where Peter has the vision? Peter has a vision in which God lowers down. In the vision, he sees a sheet lowered down, and it's full of things that are untouchable in his religion. And God challenges his thinking and says, no, I'm changing that now. What you called untouchable is not untouchable, because it was to do with the gospel. Until that time, Peter thought the gospel was just for the Jews, but God was saying it's for the Gentiles too. And that required a mega mind shift. It was like the Holy Spirit was saying, we're doing a new thing now. This is still true. Gospel's still for the Jewish people, but it's for the Gentiles too. That was a huge mindset change that Peter had to have, but the Holy Spirit was directing it. So there are people in this body of here that God is going to, there are people who are going to be the ones who see what God is doing next ahead of other people. That's the role of a prophetic person, to see what God is doing next and begin to understand from God what is coming next and what needs to change in order to move into what's coming next. But the rest of us, God is asking us to be flexible in how we respond. Because sometimes we have to just do things that aren't our natural thing, but because the Holy Spirit is at working, we just partner with him and we go with the flow with him, because he's doing something new. He's always doing something new. And some of us don't like it when things change. Some of us find that harder than others. Some people are wired that they love it when things change. Some people are not quite so comfortable when things change. And I know there are also a lot of people in this room who've had a lot of change in their life in this last season, that you're having to adjust to a completely different way of doing things. And the Holy Spirit is here to help us with those adjustments. He is bringing new things, and he will help make the adjustments that are needed. We want to be people that are like those wineskins that allow the new wine in. Whatever the Holy Spirit wants to do that's fresh and new, will we allow him to do that in our hearts? Not stick to the old way, the way we always thought it should be done. Like Peter, not thinking that the gospel was for the Jews, but that for the Gentiles. Let's be those that allow, the scripture tells us often, allow God to transform our minds. We don't need to do the way we've always done them. We need to be moving with the Holy Spirit, operating where he's operating, and being soft to the change and the new that he wants to bring. Someone said to me, it was Yinka. I was talking to Yinka, Pastor Yinka, during the week about the new old wineskins, and he said, you know, you can put new wine into old wineskins. It is possible to put new wine into old wineskins without ruining it or wrecking it. But in order to do it, you have to beat the wineskin and soften the wineskin and soak the wineskin. We need to be flexible and open to God and the new that he wants to do. So I would love to pray for people this morning. I'd love to just pray for those that are dealing with situations that are stretching you outside of what is comfortable, but it's because God is doing a new thing. God is doing a new thing. So I'd like to pray for that group of people. And I'd also like to pray that God will open the eyes of men and women in this place, that there will be those that see what God is doing, that there will be an opening of our eyes to see what the Holy Spirit is doing ahead of time, that there will be a spiritual awareness of what God is doing and what God wants to do, because that is the voice of the prophetic in our midst, and God wants it operating in that way. So actually, I think I might go for that one first. If you're not sure that you see and understand what God is doing in your life or in the life of this community, and you would like to have your spiritual eyes opened more to see and understand the things of God and where his Spirit's moving, I'm going to ask you to stand up. Just going to ask you to stand up. I'd love to pray for you. Thank you. Thank you. Amen. Amen. I'll just pray for you. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Father, that you are the giver of all good gifts. And the gift of prophecy is a gift of the Holy Spirit that you want to release amongst your body. And Lord God, you want us to have eyes that see and understand where you're moving, so that we can join with you and be where you are and help shape the structure that needs to be in place. So Father God, I just pray that you release fresh insight to the men and women that are standing in this place this morning. I pray, Lord God, that you open the eyes of their hearts, that you open their ears, that they will have understanding and revelation of what you're doing beyond what they've known before, that they will have clear instances and examples where you have revealed, you have shown them afresh the new thing that you're doing. I pray that they will become voices of what you are doing in our midst, that they will find the voice to communicate when they have heard from you what they have seen from you, that we might be a body that are responsive to your word and your ways. Open our eyes, O God, that we might have spiritual insight to all that you're doing. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Thank you.